Joseph, in the Christian world, after the event of the rapture and Armageddon, usually you don't hear any more events. Like the world doesn't know, the Christians don't know if there's anything else happening in the end time. But we did study with you together about the millennium. Is there anything else happening after the millennium, or that's the end of the end time?
Well, it's true that most don't teach and don't know about these things. Some do know. I'm not the only one. There are others who don't know about the millennium, of course. There are, of course, a lot of different doctrines, and the reason is because some people are more focusing on the opinions than the Bible. When we study the Bible deeper, well, then we find out what the Bible says. But it's like when we don't understand certain parts of the Bible, and we fill those gaps with opinions, and then we get into the false doctrines and false prophecies and false teachings. Like, we need to, a good teacher, some of the best teachers are the ones who learn to say, I don't know. Like a teacher who try to answer everything and thinks he knows everything is not a good teacher. Only God knows everything. Well, to your questions concerning after the millennium. Well, after the millennium is very, very interesting. Like, we reach at the end of the Bible, because the millennium, it's in Revelation 20, and there are two more chapters to go. That's very, very interesting. And yeah, it's true. You never hear people talking about that. Very, very rarely. But it's a pity, because it's very interesting.
Like, after Armageddon, what I know is that there is the kingdom of God, and that's it. You don't hear much about it.
You don't hear much about it. People are afraid to teach about those things, and it's true, it's very, very rare. It's a pity, because it's not so difficult to understand if we just really go to Jesus and really get on your knees and ask for interpretation. And if you really let the Holy Spirit explain to you. Look, first of all, let's read what happens. What is the last act that the Bible talks about just before, after the millennium, just before like a new heaven and new earth? So why don't you read it? It's Revelation 20 from verse 11.
It talks about the
judgment, okay? Judgment, the white throne judgment.
Okay, Revelation 20 verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Continue. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, sorry, I have very confusing ideas now about reading this. Why would we, the Christians, be judged according to our works? Aren't we saved by grace?
A lot of religion, a lot of Christian, a lot of churches, they believe that this is the judgment of the Christian, but this is wrong. This is not the judgment of the Christians, and we are not judged by works, but we are saved by grace.
So who else is going to be judged if not the Christians?
Yes, and by works. Well, there are two judgments. One is the judgment seat of Christ, which it's before the millennium. And the other is the white throne judgment, which is a terrifying, scary judgment reserved for those who don't have Christ after the millennium. Until then, until after the millennium, these people who will be judged then are kept in prison in a place which is called Hades, which in 1 Peter 3:19 and chapter 4, verse 6, it talks about the spiritual prisons, where those without Christ are kept in bondage. You want to read it?
Yes, I can read it. I remember we discussed this before. It was very interesting. 1 Peter 3:19.
Yes.
by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Who is he talking about here?
Well, why don't you read the both scriptures? Okay?
Verse?
1 Peter 3:19 and 4:6.
1 Peter 4:6. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to man in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit.
All right, so these are the people that didn't have a chance to see the real Christ, to see the real salvation, to see the real love of God, either because, for whatever reason. It talks also in these passages, if you read the whole chapters, it talks about the people who died before the flood, the people who didn't know the law of Moses, didn't know the gospel. So they, like Paul said, they that die without the law shall be judged without the law. So it's like there was no Christ, there was no Messiah, no Savior. So Jesus, he went to preach to the spirits in prisons who died without the possibility of being saved. Understand? So these are the non-saved, okay, that they receive the chance of salvation. And the ones who are saved, they go to the judgment seat of Christ before the millennium. And the ones who are not saved, they'll have to wait until after the millennium for the scary, terrible white throne judgment.
So what is it talking in the Bible about the judgment before the millennium? Because this one we read in Revelation 20, the white throne, it's obvious. It's written clearly. After the millennium, there's a judgment. What about the first judgment? What does it talk?
All right. So there are many scriptures. One is 2 Corinthians 5:10.
Yes.
You have it?
Yes. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it would be good or bad.
Right. Also, Romans 14:10. See, it says that we all have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So, beware of false doctrines that you will not be judged. You will judge in the body of Christ, in Jesus Christ, before Pontius Pilate. So Jesus was judged, so you're not going to be judged. You will not be judged unto condemnation and damnation because you have the salvation of Christ. But you will still be judged if you were a faithful, obedient Christian or an unfaithful, disobedient Christian. If you choose to be a virgin without oil or a virgin with oil, like Matthew 25. Understand?
Yes. So this is only for Christians.
Yes. You can read also Romans.
Romans 14:10. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
All right. Also, you can go to Revelation 20, verse 4. So, again, Paul repeats, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You have Revelation 20, verse 4.
Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
So 5 and 6.
Revelations 20.
Continue.
5 and 6. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
Also, chapter 5, verse 10.
Revelations 5, verse 10.
Yes.
And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
All right, so you see, it's all here. Like, this is before the millennium, the first resurrections. You see, they shall rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. So this is the judgment seat of Christ. So the faithful Christians are going to judge the unfaithful. Like Jesus told the Jews, your sons, they will judge you. So he said to his disciple, you shall sit judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So the judgment seat of Christ is actually the judgment of the saints. Well, you can see that also in Daniel chapter 7, talk about the end time and the Antichrist and the tribulation. It said the day came that the saints possessed the kingdom, a judgment was given unto them.
But why does it say judged? Like, we know we are saved from hell already and we are saved by grace. Why does it say the word judged? Because that sounds like there is still a condemnation for the Christians.
Well, no, there is no condemnation unto perdition, hell, lake of fire. But yes, there is a condemnation, not so much a condemnation, but more like you lose your crown, like it says in Revelation 3:11. It says, Jesus talking to the best church in the Bible, Philadelphia, says, be careful that nobody steals your crown. And then in Revelation 3:8, talking still to Philadelphia, says, I know your works, and because I know your works, I set in front of you an open door. And verse 10, and I will protect you, I will keep you from the tribulation and the affliction which is going to come all over the world to try them that dwell over the world. So it's like God is in the business of proving, testing his church is by works. So only salvation is by grace, Ephesians 2:8-9. But the blessing, the crowns, the eternal rewards in heaven to be part of the bride of Christ, that's a reward. Mm-hmm. Like, be part of the bride of Christ is not for the Christians who live like a whore, who are making love in the spirit with the devil, with the world, with materialism, who have a spiritual relationship. I'm talking spiritually, okay? So if you have a spiritual relationship, if you are married to the world, you love the world, you love television, money, jobs, career, diplomas, etc., more than living for Christ, working for Christ, suffering for Christ, getting up in the morning, ask Christ, what do you want me to do? During the day, you may have a job, but your job is secondary, and Jesus is first. You know, even if you put your family, your immediate family, that is not supposed to be your God. It's not supposed to be first place in your life. Even your family, your wives, your husband, your children. I have a wife and six children. They love me and I love them. We have a beautiful, happy marriage. But Jesus comes first before them. And Jesus comes first before me. So this is what it means to put Jesus first. This is what it means to be or strive to be the bride of Christ.
All right, so to see if my ideas are clear. The first judgment of the Christians is not a judgment to decide heaven or hell, because we're all saved by grace. It's a judgment that will distribute the rewards, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you see, in heaven there is no communism. There's not everybody with a red shirt and a red fuller and everybody like Lenin or Karl Marx, which theoretically they never proved it. Like equality, they can never be. There's always one faithful, one honest, one dishonest, one is a thief, the other not. There's no equality in this world, there can never be. In heaven, there is no equality either. Not everybody is a big angel, not everybody is a big archangel, not everybody sits at the right and the left of Jesus' throne. Jesus said there will be for them unto whom it is reserved. And you see in Daniel 12, verse 2 and 3, it says that they that resurrect, some are going to be like the light, others are going to resurrect to shame. Some are going to be to shine like the light, others are going to shine like the stars. They that turn many to righteousness, turn to Jesus. People, those who are evangelizing and turning lost souls to righteousness, that's Jesus, they shall shine as stars. But some are going to resurrect to everlasting shame. Mm-hmm. Daniel 12, verse 2 and 3. Jesus said, either this is ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of him. Luke 9, 23 to 26. Mark 8, 34 to 38. You're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you. You don't follow me, it's no blessing for you. Okay, you don't go to the lake of fire, you believe. Right. But Mark 8, 34 to 38, Jesus said very clear, if you don't follow me, I'll be ashamed of you. Mm-hmm. So not all Christians are the same. It's like you can see that very clearly. You know, today many Christians say, okay, Jesus said to the church of Philadelphia, Revelation 3, chapter 3, verse 10, he will keep us from the tribulation. We're going to be raptured before the tribulation because he loves us. It's not like that. The message was given only to one church. The message is not for the Christians. It's not for the church of Christ. The message is not for everybody. The message is one single little church called Philadelphia, and it's not for the other six churches. It's not for Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamo, Thyatira, Sardis, and Laodicea. The message is only for Philadelphia. If you see in Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus gives to the seven churches seven different messages. And as far as I will protect you from the tribulation, is only to one church. Even to the next best church, Smyrna, he says, the devil will cast you in prison. You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life, okay, that you may be tested, he said. Revelation 2, verse 10. Smyrna had to be tested. Philadelphia, they passed the test. You kept my word. Therefore, as a consequence, conditional, because you kept my word, I set in front of you an open door, and I will protect you. Complete different message of the other six churches. So don't go to sleep thinking, oh, I'm saved by grace. Yeah, I'm saved by grace, but you can still resurrect unto everlasting shame. Be careful. Make sure you put oil in your lamp, you keep oil in your lamp, and be a wise virgin, not a foolish, silly virgin who had the lamp full of world and TV and money and diplomas and people, and empty of Jesus, empty of the oil of Christ, the oil of obedience, the oil of following, the oil of preaching the gospel, the oil of dedicating everything, your material possessions and everything else, to Jesus.
Amen. I'm just thinking now that the message I always heard, that the Christians will be judged at the white throne judgment, it doesn't actually make sense, because before the millennium, the Lamb will marry his bride before the millennium. I have a marriage feast. How can he judge her after the millennium?
Exactly.
At the white throne?
Yeah, very right.
But now
that's
my question is, I want to ask you then.
Revelation 19, verse 7.
Yeah, so it's not, doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
but
immediately, just before Armageddon, there is a marriage of the Lamb with the church, exactly like you said. And then it comes Armageddon, and Revelation 19:11, and then comes the millennium, Revelation 20, verse 4. And then after the millennium is the white throne judgment. So how is the church going to be judged, maybe sent to the lake of fire? They already married with Jesus. A very good point.
Okay, but now my question is, this judgment seat of Christ, where the Christians are given the rewards, is this before or after the rapture? No. Before or after the marriage also? When is it exactly?
No, the marriage is the reward. Yeah, it's like when there is a marriage feast of the Lamb, all right, which is Revelation 19, 7 to 9, just before the Armageddon and just after the rapture. The bride cannot marry Jesus if he's not raptured.
Yeah.
So it must be after the rapture,
yeah,
and before the Armageddon. So there is another event happening in between, is the wrath of God. So whether it's hell on earth or it's heaven in heaven. So at the marriage of the Lamb, that's when the reward are being given.
Okay.
Understand? And that's when the church has been separated. The foolish virgin, they get out of the marriage chamber, Matthew 25, 1 to 13. The foolish virgin get thrown out of the marriage. They don't get access to the marriage chamber. The wise virgin with oil, Matthew 25, if it was virgin, get access into the marriage chamber. That symbolizes the rapture. After the rapture, immediately is the marriage of the Lamb. Okay, because Jesus comes from heaven, Revelation 19:11, for Armageddon after the marriage, which happens a few scriptures before, Revelation 19.
All right, what about the second judgment, which is after the millennium? What's going to happen there?
Well, we read it before. That's very interesting. That's the second judgment. In fact, it says in Revelation 20, verse 5 and 6, it says, blessed is he who partakes in the first resurrections, because on him it has no power, the second death. Understand? Because at the white throne judgment, there is such a thing for the people who don't pass the test, whose name are not written in the book of life, which is not the book of the Lamb. I'm going to talk about that too. There are two books, okay? So the people who are not written in the book of life, they go to the lake of fire to die, and that's the second death. You know, I don't even think they're going to suffer in hell forever, okay? I don't think the souls are going to suffer in hell forever. They die. It's a second death. What burns, like we already mentioned, is a carcass. Isaiah 66, 24.
But in the second judgment after the millennium, who are going to be judged there? The people who rejected Christ? Or who?
Well, everybody who rejected Christ. Because even the ones who died, I don't know, in a car accident, before they had a chance to make a decision, before they even rejected Christ, they would not. People who die in a car accident, or they didn't really reject Christ, some of them didn't have a chance. So maybe they were living in a place that they, the Christian church was more dead than alive. So they didn't have a chance to see the real Christ of love, of forgiveness, of compassion. And so they are there just in the 80s. So Jesus went in the 80s and preached the gospel to them, remember? We read before. Yes. And even this is still happening today. Like, even in the 80s, they have a chance, like the Muslim, for example. The Muslim world was so brainwashed, the Jehovah's Witnesses, all these guys that they didn't have a chance. They just born in a Jehovah's Witness family. They born in a Muslim family. They got around killing Christians, blowing themselves up to kill some Jews, etc. But it's like they never had a chance to really accept or reject Christ because maybe they were brainwashed. So they will have a chance in the 80s to receive Christ. And the ones who reject Christ, whether in this life or in the next, then only these present themselves in front of the white throne judgment of Revelation 20:11.
But that's what I don't understand. If those are people who rejected Christ, why do they have to be judged by their works? They already decided.
Yeah, for the simple reason, this is something that many Christians don't understand, that not everybody who anybody who does not receive Christ goes to the lake of fire. Okay, there is a variety of guiltiness. Is that there is no heaven or hell? There is not just heaven or lake of fire. It's a big difference. It's like saying either I offer you a drink or I shoot you in the head. It's like there is a between. You know, it's like it's not either I love you or hate you. There is in between. It's like that's why we're going to study the next chapter, Revelation 21. There's going to be new heaven, new earth, and new Jerusalem. See, new heaven and new earth, new heaven and new Jerusalem. You see the two stages of the Christian who are kind of passive and disobedient. New heavens and new Jerusalem is the bride of Christ, the faithful who give Jesus their whole heart. And then there is a new earth. These are the people who will live like now. They live. They get up in the morning. They go to sleep at night. They are not angels. They don't fly around. The only thing, don't die, because the Revelation 20 at the end, Revelation 20 says, death, okay, and hell is cast to the lake of fire. So death and Hades. So Bible says hell. It means Hades, the place of the dead. So death is cast to the lake of fire. There is no death anymore. Nobody dies anymore. You go back to the days like Adam and Eve, understand? But then there's going to be, on earth, there's going to be the people who live on earth. Only they are not the bride of Christ. They are not angels. They are the people who, by the skin of the teeth, they were spared in the white throne judgment. Understand? And because the white throne judgment is a judgment by works, it's not by grace.
I'm trying to follow. It's really a lot in it.
I can explain about the works.
Yes. Why yes. By works? And these people on New Earth, they don't die anymore. They live forever.
Yeah, it's like it's not that God is trying to send everybody to hell. It's the other way around. The Calvary is a picture of God trying to get people out of hell. Mm-hmm. God says in the Old Testament, says, I, the Lord, have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God is not trying. It's not like the devil is trying to kill as many as possible. God, Jesus from the Calvary is trying to save as many as possible.
But then I know that there are some denominations which say that we are saved by works. So in a certain measure, they are right.
No, they are totally wrong. Absolutely wrong. Ephesians 2:9, it says, not by works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5, by grace we are saved.
Yes, but look at these people at the White Throne Judgment. They are saved by their works without the Savior.
Yes, these are saved by works because they don't have Jesus. Okay, but these guys don't go to heaven. Understand? These guys, these guys go to the new earth. This is going to be we're going to talk this in the next chapters. It's very interesting. Don't miss it. So these guys are not exactly they don't receive the salvation of Jesus. They just give it. They just receive a salvation from the lake of fire.
I understand.
Okay, it's a different thing. So they are saved by works.
It's not heaven, yeah.
It's not. No, the works are important. Only the works don't give you the salvation of Christ. But nevertheless, it's like there is always a different proportions, you know, the salvation. These guys are saved by works. We can explain that. Okay, you want to hear? Maybe we can expand on these works a little bit.
Yeah, please do, because it's very controversial, really.
If you notice, religions usually don't teach anything about this white throne judgment because you know why? They don't understand about the works. They think there is a contradiction in the Bible. Because Ephesians 2:9, it says you're saved not by works. And then Revelation 20:11, it says, they were judged by their works. It repeats two times. You know, verse 13 and 15. Revelation 20, 13 and 15 repeats two times. They were saved according to the works. Repetition, like there is no mistake. In fact, you can see this in every Bible. Okay, it seems kind of like agree with those religion who say you're saved by works. In reality, it's not like that at all. Okay, let me explain about these works a little bit. All right, and we can go to John chapter 5. Okay, and you might get a surprise because I never heard anybody teaching this.
I am already surprised.
So you get a surprise, yeah. So in you can read in okay. Let's start from 24.
John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Get that?
Wow. So this is the first...
This is Ephesians 2:9, okay. Not by works
we
are saved. You see, this is exactly what Ephesians 2:9 and the Titus 3:5 is saying. No, it's salvation, not by works. All right, so now but let's keep reading, like verse 28 and 29.
The same chapter?
Yes.
28 and 29.
Yes,
John 5. Yes. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that had done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
So, doesn't it look like there's a contradiction here?
Yeah, he just said we don't come unto judgment because we go from death unto life without being judged.
Yes, yes, yes. Verse 24, it says, let me quote it. It says, he that believes in me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Just exactly what Jesus said to Martha and Mary in John 11:25-26. He that believes in me shall not die. So this is perfect. But then, verse 28 and 29, here seems a complete contradiction. Still Jesus speaking in the same paragraph,
yes.
The same passage. He said, marvel not, hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Graves, that's the Hades. And shall come forth they that have done good works,
yeah.
Unto the resurrection of life. They that have done evil, bad works, unto the resurrection of damnations.
I understood it because you explained before. I understood.
All right, but it's good to ask questions, this kind of question for the beloved brethren. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you already know this. But anyway, let me repeat it for the people who don't know. You see, this is let me ask a question. Is God schizophrenic?
No way.
No, I don't think so. But nevertheless, this is very, very opposite. Like you never heard anybody teaching on this, right?
Never, really, never, ever.
Because like, you put God in a bad light.
And I'm so happy that you give us other references to this message, not just the one in Revelations 20, because more references makes it more clear and more credible as well.
Yeah, a long time ago, I asked the Lord to make me a teacher, especially because I teach prophecy and the end times so much, to make me a teacher that would not teach anything without scriptures. Because so today a lot of false prophets, they start with the Bible, with Jesus, they start with the gospel, they start with a prophecy, they base themselves on the rock, but then they fly into false doctrines from there. They jump from God's trampoline and fall into the devil's waters, muddy waters. You know, that's how false prophets work. They start right and end in opinions of man. Jeremiah 17:5, it says, cursed be the man that trusts in man. Verse 7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord.
Amen.
So beware of false prophets who teach right from the Bible, who start right from the Bible and end in their false opinions. Be careful.
Amen.
You should always ask a scripture at every articulation, at every turn, at everything. And then, because today most of the teachers are false. All right. Okay, so that's why I have to watch my step. Revelation 22 says, he that adds to this word, God shall add the plagues. either takes away from this word the prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life. Very, very, very dangerous. I really recommend, Brennan, the teachers, be careful what you teach, because God is going to add the plagues. God is going to take away from you your part of the tree of life. Don't teach things you don't know. Just say, I don't know. I'm stupid. Okay, we're supposed to be silly. I know I am stupid. You mean anything right I'm teaching is only Jesus. Of course, I'm wrong so many times, I'm scared to teach my opinions. When it's my opinion, I'll tell you. My opinion, hello? So, you know if you want to believe it or not. But this is true. Now, let me go to the conclusion here.
Yes.
All right, so you see here in verse 24 that shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You see here the judgment of the saints before the millennium, Revelation 20, verse 4. You understand? Blessed is he who takes part of the first resurrections.
Yeah,
in verses John 5, 28 and 29, judged by works, you see the white throne judgment. You understand? These are two judgments.
Yes, because it says, they that have done evil unto the destruction of damnation, they that have done good to life. So it's by works, obviously.
Yeah, but you understand, you see here the two judgments. Between verse 24 and 28, many scriptures there, four scriptures.
Yes.
But you know what? There is 1,000 years of space. There is a difference of 1,000 years. Because verse 28 and 29 is the white throne judgment. And verse 24 is the judgment seat of Christ. Got that?
Amen.
All right, so what else you want to know?
Well.
very clear, very simple.
This is very nice, and it's very clear, and I'm happy it's Jesus himself speaking this word. And one question I have is, we read in Revelation 20, and you mentioned about some books, and it says that the books were opened, and another book was opened, and what's all these books?
Oh, well, just the books you want to know. Well, listen, there are many books. Revelation 20, at the end of the chapter 20, talks about many books. And the book that is open here is only the book of life. See, it's plural.
Where are you now?
Well, Revelation 20,
okay.
Verse 11 up.
Okay.
It says, I saw a white throne, a great white throne. Okay, and the dead stood. Okay, verse 12. And the books were open. It's plural. All right? So there is not just a book. Now, the main book that is open here. Okay, you see, the books of the works are open. What you've done, what you've not done. It's like a video recording. God has a kind of a spiritual video camera that records, you know, like the planes have a black box. Like when a plane falls down, they always look for the black box to see, because that records everything. So when a lie falls down into Hades or dies, at the white throne judgment, this black box, it's open. The books were open. Like in the hearts of man, God has put like some video recorder. It's called the conscience, and that records everything. It's like, so when I have an idea that these books are actually people's conscience. You understand? Like God will click with a spiritual click, and from your conscience, you see everything you did. You cannot say it's not true. You see yourself in the video. You know it's true. See, God is not going to question. God is going to tell you, look what you did. So, the books were open, whatever they're going to be. And then there was a book, another book. It's called Another, which is the Book of Life, a different book. Okay, if until here, they're the books of the works, the books in the hearts of the people, they cannot deny. And then another book, the Book of Life. Now, this Book of Life is not our book. See, when you receive Jesus, you're not written in the Book of Life.
Why not? I mean, I want to be written in the Book of Life.
Yeah, but you're not. You are. Do you believe in Jesus?
Definitely.
You receive Jesus?
I receive Jesus.
All right,
yeah.
Then you're not written in the Book of Life. Let me explain to you. Why don't you read Revelation 3, verse 5?
I mean, I think I want to be in the Book of Life.
You are not.
Revelations 3, 5?
Revelation 3, 5. What does it say?
Okay. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the Book of Life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So, if I receive Jesus, I'm not in the Book of Life, only if I overcome then.
See, let me explain to you. See, it says here, He that overcomes, I will not erase his name from the book of life. In other words, from the book of life, you can be erased. Do you understand? In fact,
so that means you can lose salvation?
You can go to the lake of fire. Now, just listen, okay? Let me finish. So, the first time you read about this book of life is in Exodus 32, 33. And that's when Moses asked God, erase me from the book of life. And God said, only he that sins against me I will erase from the book of life. So from the book of life is not a very good book. It can be erased, you understand? And here Jesus, in Revelation 3:5, is talking to a terrible church, the dead church, the church of Sardis. Revelation 3:1, you have a name to be alive, but you are dead. But nevertheless, among you there are a few, let me read it. Verse 4. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled the garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So you understand that this church was half dead and half alive. There are many churches like this today. They're just they serve God just on a church bench a Sunday morning, but that's it. It's just a religion, like Islam, Hinduism. They just have, instead of a cow, they have a cross, but no big deal. So they never, Jesus is not a religion. Salvation is not a religion. Salvation is not a church. Salvation is no Catholicism, Protestantism, Pentecostal, or Mormon. Salvation is not religion. Salvation is a person. You have to receive the person. It doesn't matter if you're a Hinduist, if you're a prostitute, if you're an atheist. It's the same salvation for you, sinner, that for the Christian. Salvation is a person. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you go to church. You're not saved if you don't receive the person, Jesus. So here inside, there were some believers who were saved, others were unsaved. So the ones, he's talking to the dead here. You have a name to be alive, but you're dead. What does that mean? The guy never received Jesus. They only received religion. Okay, so be careful, he's saying. Be careful. If you don't overcome, your name is going to be erased from the book of life. You never even enter the book of the Lamb. You're still in the book of life, and I'm going to erase you even from there if you don't overcome. So let me explain. There are two books, okay? There is the book of life, and then there is the book of the Lamb. Let me read to you about the second book.
Okay.
Why don't you read it? Revelation 13, 8.
13? Okay, 1 second. Revelation 13, 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
See, this is not the book of life. You receive Jesus, right? Haven't you?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so your name is not in the book of life only. He is in the book of the life of the Lamb. All right? So that's a different book. It's a book your salvation, it doesn't... can you go to John 10, 28? Your salvation doesn't depend anymore on your works, but it depends entirely on Jesus, like we read in John 10, 28.
Yes. It says, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
You understand? I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. And nobody shall take them out from my hands. You got that?
So this is the book of the Lamb. In other words, those who belong to the book of the Lamb, they are sealed and they cannot lose salvation, right?
Exactly. These are the ones who... they are written in the book of the Lamb because they receive Jesus. But if your name is written in the book of the life only, it can be erased. That's what Jesus was telling to the church of Sardis.
And who are those people written in the book of life?
The people written in the book of life are the people who never received Jesus. Okay, and the name of Jesus remains in the book of life to be judged at the white throne judgment.
Ah, so it's everybody else, basically. There is the Christians written in the book of the Lamb because they're saved by the Savior, by grace, and everybody else in the book of life.
Exactly. So the people written in the book of life, they can be raised.
So from the book of life, we read that people can't be raised. You're saying from the book of the Lamb, you cannot be raised?
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Because otherwise... What's the Savior good for if the devil can just overcome the Savior and take away from his hands? Jesus said exactly the opposite. Nobody can take you away from my hands. Paul expounded that even more clear. And Romans 8:35-39, nobody can separate us from Christ, to make a long story short. Look, I have a scripture here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. You want to read it?
Yes, I can read it. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
20.
For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
All right. See, I'm thinking right now, a very famous world international preacher used to preach that it's very difficult to lose salvation, but you can still renounce it. Okay, I understand that he just recently, a couple of years ago, he just changed his mind. And he said, no, you cannot renounce it, you just cannot lose it. Salvation, that's it. God bless him. So I agree with that. I disagree with him before in the past when he was saying you can renounce it. No, you cannot renounce it. You can renounce an inheritance, you can renounce whatever you want, but you cannot renounce who you are, a human being. You cannot renounce you are a woman, a man. Certain things. You can say, I renounce that that's the sun and that's the moon. Certain things you cannot renounce, okay?
That's good.
God didn't give you the possibility to renounce. Amen. I renounce that two and two makes four. Sorry, that's not possible. There are things you cannot. There are laws of God. There are things that God did not put under our power because we cannot be trusted.
No.
Like the building atomic bomb. See, God didn't create, that was God's will. Humanity cannot manage something like an atomic power. In fact, they're going to blow themselves up one of these days. So salvation.
In fact, I'm very grateful to God for this, because even in the Christian life, you know, there are those moments when you're down, when you're discouraged, and then one day you tell God, that's it, I had enough.
Yes.
I don't want any more. The next day you repent. Yes. So thank God that we cannot renounce it, because you don't know what you do in a moment of, you know, unprayfulness.
Yeah, it commits suicide. You drive the car too fast. You renounce to the speed limit, so you go too fast and go kill yourself. No. God did not put salvation at the whim of a moment. Forget it.
Thank God.
This guy climbed the roof and said, shall I jump or no jump? To be or not to be alive? No. Certain things. You see, I don't give my children the power to renounce to be my children. Sorry, that is just, I don't care. They renounce, they're still my children.
Amen.
Understand? So, eternal life, Jesus would be lying. Jesus would be a false prophet when he said that given to them eternal life, they shall never perish, and nobody shall take them away from my hands. John 10:28. He would be a liar. You know, because he said if eternal life, he promised, would not be eternal. Eternal life is eternal life. You see, Jesus knows the difference between conditional promise and absolute imperative. In the Old Testament, you can go through your concordance, you never find a promise by God, I give you, you have eternal life. Never. It was always, if you're faithful, if you keep the law, if you love God, if you're righteous, etc. In the New Testament, this changes. It's a complete different orchestra, different music. It's the music of the Messiah. I give unto you eternal life. It's no more if you keep the law. It's no more if you follow Moses. It's no more if you are a Protestant or Catholic. I give you into eternal life. Not because you go to church, but because I, the Messiah, saved you. Look, you read the 1 Corinthians 6, right?
Yes.
19 and 20. Shall we analyze it a little bit? Verse 19, it says, you are not your own.
Mm, yeah.
What does that mean? You'll give me a revelation of this one day. And together with verse 20, you bought with a price. Okay, and then you see, you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. What does that mean? It means that you can renounce something that is yours. You can renounce a an inheritance. You can renounce a marriage. You can divorce. You can renounce your health and become an alcoholic. You can renounce your happiness and don't follow Jesus and not follow Jesus. You can renounce your health and eat at the McDonald's, eat garbage, eat whatever. Sorry, Mr. McDonald, don't sue me. But your food is not too good. You can eat food with preservatives, full of poison that even the worms will want to eat. Like that's why there's so much cancer today. You can renounce to your children happiness and let them go with people where they learn to take drugs, let them go to discotheque. You can renounce whatever you want, but that's because it belongs to you. You can renounce your health, your money. You can renounce whatever you want, but you cannot renounce something that is not yours. How much money do you have in your pocket right now? It's okay, don't tell me. Can I renounce your money?
No, you can't.
I mean, what do you possess? You possess books, you possess blankets, you possess a bed, right?
Yes.
Okay, can I renounce?
No, you can't.
Why not?
Because it's mine.
So I cannot renounce your things?
No.
I see you wearing nice sunglasses right now. Can I renounce those?
Please don't.
Why not?
I wouldn't let you, they're mine.
Can I take them out and renounce them?
No.
You see, that's stupid. If you own a car, can I renounce it? No, sorry, you can renounce your car, not mine.
Yeah.
So, back to 1 Corinthians 6:19. You are not your own. What does that mean? You're bought at a price, the blood of Christ.
Amen.
So if we don't belong to ourselves, thank God. We belong to Jesus. Only Jesus can renounce to us because we belong to Him. If we, our souls are saved by the blood of Christ and it belongs to Christ, and thank God for that, so He can keep us, then we cannot renounce it. Then we can only, that's it. Understand? That's the book of the Lamb. That's the book of the blood. That's the book of the cross. That's the book of the Calvary. It's the book of the Savior. It's the book of the Messiah. It's the book of the ones who came to save us from the lake of fire. All right. And it's not just until you climb the roof and say, let me see, let me flip the coin, click, all right, I decided to jump. It's not like that. You can kill your flesh, but not your soul. Is it good enough? Is it clear enough?
Yes, it is. Thank you. And then here, going back to the white throne judgment, it says at the end that those who are not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire.
Yes, what reference is that?
Revelations 20:15.
Yes.
So in other words, the book of life are only the people who will be left alive after the white throne. And you said they're going to go to the new earth. And people who are sent to the lake of fire, they are erased, right?
Yes, these are the people who come straight from Hades. Hades, it's the place of the dead, the souls of the dead. All right, and so even the ones written the book of life, they're still in Hades waiting for judgment, because even there, there's going to be a difference of judgments, you understand? And the ones who are not found in the book of life are going to be thrown in the lake of fire. So the judgment comes after the millennium for both of these guys.
But in the book of life are going to be only those who pass the second judgment, no? Because they are kept alive.
Well, they are in the book of life all the time, only waiting for judgment. Only at the judgment we find out who's written and who's not written.
Who can be erased.
Who will have to be erased.
I understand.
Understand?
I understand.
So, I don't know, is there anything else we need to clarify about the two books and the two judgments?
No, it's very interesting. To me, it's clear. Two judgments, two books. It was very nice, the scriptures in John 5, Jesus speaking, that clarified a lot.
Yeah, that was a revelation for me, okay?
Yeah.
One day, trying to figure out how to put two and two together, and the Lord gave me the scripture, and all of a sudden, the scripture exploded, just lightened up. You know, like you read the Bible many times, you read a passage, you read a chapter, and everything is nice, nice reading, but all of a sudden, something, bang, it gets revealed.
Also, it's very positive and encouraging to know that we, the Christians, we go to the first judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. We are saved from hell. We don't go to the white throne, which is quite scary.
Yeah, the only ones who send you to the lake of fire are the religious people, you know. God doesn't send you to the lake of fire. I mean, religions are the only ones that send you to hell. Like, once you receive Jesus, it's like once you receive Jesus, you're saved. You know, you are. I know they just told me a story about a woman, can you remind me, a few days ago we heard a story in a church that a woman, she got pregnant, she got sent out of the church.
A friend told us, yes.
Can you remind me?
That in a certain church, a young girl, she got pregnant without being married.
Yes.
And she went to church to ask for help because she was kind of confused. Well, she was getting actually desperate and seeking the Lord. She went to church to seek God. But the church told her, you cannot stay in our church and please don't come back here because you're a bad sample to the rest of the young people. And she had to leave.
You see, I mean, how do we put that? That Jesus was a friend of the prostitutes or the publicans. Jesus said in Matthew 21:31, the prostitutes go to heaven before you, talking to the religious people of his day. Like, it's ridiculous. Those are exactly, a girl who got pregnant, she's the number one in a church or out of the church that Jesus would go to try to help her so she doesn't make any more mistakes. Like you said to the adulterous woman, she said, did I condemn you? No, John chapter 8. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So it's like a single mother made a mistake, went with the wrong guy. She got pregnant. The guy said, goodbye. The baby, it's all yours. And she's stuck with this baby. She has to learn to love him. And the church forsakes him. You know, the heartbreaking thing that she may think God forsook her. A lie of the devil.
You know, sometimes this kind of events in people's life are exactly the means to bring them to God. I mean, I know situations of girls who got pregnant, and the fact that they had a pregnancy, they realized they were wrong, and they got close to Jesus, and they got saved, and they had a wonderful life in the Lord. But there is the fact to consider...
Mary Magdalene in the Bible, like this.
Yes.
Mary Magdalene, a sinner, which is probably means a prostitute. And it's like when she received the forgiveness, when Jesus loved her and delivered her from the bad spirits, I think it was seven devils or something like that, if I remember. It's like she became one of the best disciples. She was the number one. John and Peter ran to the empty tomb, and Jesus was hiding. He didn't appear to his best disciples. He waited until they left, and after they left, he appears to who? To an ex-prostitute.
Yes, and I know in my life, and also friends of mine, the only way they finally cried to God was when they're in deep trouble. And that can contribute to changing their lives. But what I want to say, there is the fact to consider that in a church, this can be an influence on the other young people. And they might say, well, the church accepts sin and pregnancies, so I can do it too. There is this fact to consider, no?
Well, it depends. If you're a weak church that you cannot deal with it, but if you're a strong church and the Holy Spirit witnessing church, you'll witness to somebody who's off the track and bring them back to Jesus. Anyway, this all to show that Jesus forgives you, he doesn't send you to hell.